Well, good morning, everybody. This morning we come to Matthew's Gospel again, so if you'd like to open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. And I must say, it is nice to see you all this morning. I hope that you're feeling well. I hope that you're comfortable, but hopefully not too comfortable. So there's a danger with being too comfortable when you're sitting like that, and that is that you can fall asleep. A couple of months ago, I was preaching at a church that had a couple of elderly members of the congregation, and I don't think I'd even made it to the end of my introduction when three members of the congregation were asleep. I continued on valiantly, but those three remained asleep for the whole sermon, and there were two others who sort of drifted in and out as we went. Now, I don't think the sermon was that bad, and I'm putting it down to the fact that they were just really tired. But I'm hoping that won't be your experience this morning, and that's why we give you these mildly uncomfortable chairs to sit in, so that you won't easily nod off. But I did feel sorry for them, because I know what that's like. I'm sure you do too. You know, that feeling of tiredness that is just irresistible, where your eyelids droop and there's just nothing you can do to stay awake. I remember when I was a teenager, spending a night with some mates of mine at what was inappropriately called a sleepover. We didn't do any sleeping that I remember at all. In fact, I don't know what we spent the night doing, but when the sun came up the next morning, we hadn't closed our eyes for more than a few seconds. But it was Sunday morning, so I went home, and as I always did on Sunday morning, got ready for church. See, my dad was a minister, and so I had a shower and freshened up and went with my mum to church. Now, the disadvantage of your dad being the minister is that you need to sit down the front somewhere, and I was pretty tired. Everything was going fine during the service, as singing songs, saying prayers, I was up and down, that's the advantage of Anglicanism. But when we got to the sermon, and my dad's a good preacher, but I was tired. And so after a couple of minutes, the eyelids were drooping, the head was nodding, and my mum was elbowing me in the ribs. Do you know that feeling, that sort of irresistible tiredness? I met a lady from the southern states of America. She said that experience is called pecking corn, when you droop your head down and then, you know that one? That's pecking corn. If you're feeling a bit like that, then this morning's verse is hopefully one that will bring you comfort. At the end of chapter 11 in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus stands and calls out to the crowd, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There in verse 28 of chapter 11. It's a familiar verse, isn't it? A passage that we're all familiar with. Most of us can probably quote it. But do we actually understand what Jesus is saying here? What is this rest that Jesus is talking about? Is it an eternal, eventual future rest, or is it a rest that we experience now? And who is it that he's talking to? Who are the weary and burdened that Jesus cries out to? Well, I don't think the weary and burdened that he has in mind are just the people in need of a good sleep. He's not just talking to teenagers who've spent all night up, or college students who didn't start their essay till midnight the night before it was due. He's not just talking about the tiredness that comes from a lack of sleep. No, that phrase weary and burdened refers to something more than that. It could be translated to the labouring and heavy laden ones. To those who are weary from carrying a heavy load. To the ones whose burden is weighing them down and they don't think they can get rid of it. Now, there's different kinds of tiredness, aren't there? There's the tiredness that comes from lack of sleep. There's that tiredness that comes from working hard and feeling satisfied. You know, like a hot summer's day, when you're out in the garden or you're out mowing the lawn and then you come in when the heat gets too much, you take off your shoes and socks, get a nice cool drink and sit down with that relaxed, tired, satisfied feeling. But that's not the tiredness Jesus is talking about either. He's talking about the tiredness that comes from bearing a burden that is too much for you. A burden that you can't put down. A burden that you think you will never be rid of. It's not just tiredness, it's hopelessness. And sadly, many of us know what that feels like. You know, when you've got that pile of assessments and you just have no idea how you're going to get through them. You just can't see that it's physically possible to finish everything before they're due. Or maybe you're involved in a ministry. You're pouring your time and your energy and your heart and soul into it, and it just doesn't seem to be doing any good. Nothing seems to be coming of it. People aren't being changed or transformed. Or maybe it just comes from relationships that wear you down. A friend or relative who's just hard to live with. And you try, but you just don't seem to have the energy to see it come to something fruitful. It's that sort of burden that Jesus is talking about. Physical, emotional, spiritual tiredness. That's what it means to be weary and burdened. And that's who Jesus calls to. So what does he offer them? What is this rest that he speaks of? Well, he says, come to me, verse 28, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But then ironically, he says, I will give you a burden. Take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke, by its very nature, is a burden. A yoke is a big piece of timber that a master would place on the neck of an animal so that it could pull a plough or a cart or something like that. It was the way that an animal would do work. So Jesus is not saying, come and you will be burden-free. He's saying, come and take my burden. But the difference between Jesus' burden and the burden being borne by the weary and burdened is the master. See what Jesus says? He says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, the master is different, and so the burden is different. Jesus says that he is a Lord who will not weigh us down with a burden we can't bear. We all serve someone. We all serve something. We're all having our lives governed by some governing principle. And Jesus says, let me be your Lord, and I will give you a burden that you can bear. A burden that will not take your hope. A couple of years ago when I was in China, I met a group of Christians who were reaching out to the prostitutes in Beijing. Sadly, in Beijing, there are many women who've come into the city looking for work. Many of them have come from rural parts of China. They're not even legally allowed to live in Beijing, but they come with the hope of earning money that they can send back to their families. But work is hard to find, and so many of them, for various reasons, end up trapped in prostitution. So these believers are going to them, and they're offering them a new way of living. A new way of providing for themselves. They're teaching them to make jewelry and make handbags and make various other things that can be sold in fair trade shops all around the world. And so these women are able to trade in the burden that they cannot bear for a light burden. As they meet Jesus, they receive a light burden. See, that's what Jesus is calling us to. He's saying, let down your unbearable burden and take up the burden of a gentle and humble Lord, and you will find rest for your souls at the end of verse 29. Rest for your souls. So what is that rest, though? We hear a bit about rest in the Bible, don't we? All through Hebrews, we hear about this future rest that we look forward to, this rest that will come in the new heavens and the new earth. But is that what Jesus has in mind here? Well, I think that's part of it. But he also seems to be talking about a rest that we'll experience now. But to understand exactly what that rest for your souls is, we need to look back at the verses that come beforehand. Last week we heard from Stuart about the first half of chapter 11. In these verses, Jesus is correcting the mistaken views of the people of his day who weren't accepting him because he didn't match up to their expectations. So they were waiting for a Messiah who would tick all of the boxes of the religious elite. They were waiting for someone who would fulfill the expectations of the Pharisees, the rules and regulations that they made. They thought that the Messiah would be someone who would be the ultimate Pharisee. They thought that that was the way to find rest, to fulfill those laws. That was the way to be free. But Jesus didn't do that. And so he rebukes them. And then in verse 25, we hear Jesus pray. And he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. See, these people who were rejecting Jesus were actually missing out on God's truth completely. because they viewed themselves as wise and learned. They thought that they understood how the world worked. They thought they knew what they should be looking for. But that actually excluded them from seeing God's truth at all. It was hidden from them, not because they were smart, but because they were depending on their own wisdom. They were self-sufficient. But it is God's good pleasure to reveal truth to little children. You see, it's those who aren't depending on themselves, but on God, who actually find truth. And in finding truth, they find rest. You see, look at what Jesus says in verse 27. He turns back to the crowd and he says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." See, what is rest? Rest is coming to the Son, who will help you to know the Father. Rest is found in knowing God through Jesus. That is true rest. And when we come to Jesus, not depending on our own brilliance, not depending on our own abilities, but needing him, then we find rest in relationship with the God who made us. In the first chapter of Augustine's Confessions, he says, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace until they rest in you." That is true rest. That is the rest that Jesus offers. It's the rest of reconnection with the God who created us. You see, what Jesus is declaring here is really the gospel. He's saying, "I have made a way for your ultimate need to be addressed." In Jesus' death and resurrection, he's broken down the barrier between us and the God who made us. He reconnects us to God. And in our reconnection to God, we find peace, we find rest, we find our ultimate need met. So the wise and learned were missing out because they thought they knew how to find God. They thought that by following rules and regulations of the Old Testament law that the Pharisees had turned into a massive burden, that they'd find God, but they didn't. They were just weary and burdened. But by coming to Jesus like a little child, then we come to know God. We find peace. We find rest. There is no other way to know God except through Christ. See, it's like knowing a famous person. Yesterday, for Ministry Matters, we had Jay Kyle here. Now, Jay works at Redeemer Presbyterian, which is the church that Tim Keller's the pastor of. Many of you know Tim Keller, I'm sure. Jay is a close friend of Tim's. They've worked together for years. They know each other well. He knows Tim Keller. Now, you can ask if I know Tim Keller, and I can say, well, I've read his books. I've heard him speak. I even met him once when I was in South Africa, shook his hand. But I don't know that I really know him. I haven't exactly sat down and had a coffee and yarned about his family and his life. I don't know him because he hasn't made himself known to me. But if you ask if I know God, then I can say, well, I've read his books. I've heard him speak. But I've also been taken into the very throne room of God through Jesus. So I do know God because he has made himself known to me through his Son. You see, that is where we find peace. And so Jesus' words here are an amazing offer that he makes to everyone. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we're surrounded by people who are weary and burdened. As we look around the world, we see everywhere people who are wearied and burdened in their effort to find rest. There's a graduate of this college named Brendan who lives in India. You can see a picture of him in the admin building. Brendan lives in Varanasi, which is a town that attracts many spiritual seekers. And he shared once about this guy who lives there, who's been living in Varanasi for about 40 years. He's not Indian, I think he was American, but he went to India searching for spiritual enlightenment. And he's lived there so long that he now dresses and eats and even speaks with an Indian accent. He's been following the Hindu gurus for years. He does everything that they tell him. He meditates. He follows their rituals. He follows their practices. And he does it all in the hope that he will somehow connect with the divine, somehow connect with God. Brennan shares about how he once asked him, "Have you connected? Have you met God?" And he said, "It's like a jar of honey. I've tasted it, but I can't get the lid off." He has no hope. He has no way of finding rest. And people everywhere have that same pursuit that they chase after in different ways. Our Muslim friends have rules and regulations about how and when they pray, how and when they fast, what they wear, what they eat, how they manage their finances. And they follow these laws of Islam in the hope that God will look favourably upon them in this life and possibly in the life to come. But there's no guarantee. They have no hope. They have no rest. Our Buddhist friends have the same problem. Although they have no concept of God, they too are pursuing peace. And they think that if they study the Buddhist scriptures and if they follow Buddhist practices, if they meditate, if they can learn to control their emotions and their ambitions, then they might be freed from suffering, maybe even freed from the endless reincarnation cycle of life. But they have no guarantee. They have no hope. They have no rest. Even our non-religious friends are pursuing peace. They think that if they can just get the right job, if they can just get the right salary or buy the right house, if they can send their kids to the right school, if they can get the right car, if they can afford the best overseas holiday, then they'll have peace. But then things go wrong. Jobs turn sour. Kids fail school. Cars break down. There's no guarantee. There's no hope. There's no rest. You see, these people need to hear Jesus' words. They need to hear Jesus' offer of rest for the weary and burdened. They need to hear that Jesus can meet their deepest need. And we have the responsibility to tell them. We need to take this message to them. We need to shout this message from the rooftops. Come to him, all you who are weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. Learn from him. For he is gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your soul. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. This is a message we need to proclaim. But it's a message we also need to show. If a thirsty man came to you and said he knew where to find water, would you believe him? If a starving man came and said he knew where to find food, would you believe him? If a weary person came and said they knew where to find rest, would you believe them? We need to ask ourselves, are we wearied? Are we burdened? Over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking to lots of people about this verse, often sitting out on the lawn, talking to some of you about what does it mean when Jesus says, come to me and find rest. I've talked to friends at church, other friends and relatives, and the general consensus is that we all feel weary. We feel weary. Why is that? Well, part of it, I think, is because we're busy. It's nice to hear Janet say that her hope is not to be busy. But sadly, we often are. We have just too much going on. But you know, I don't think it's just busyness that causes weariness, though. Busyness can make you tired. But the sort of weariness that Jesus is talking about comes from being burdened. But I'd like to suggest that if true rest is found in knowing God through Jesus, then weariness comes from looking for that rest somewhere other than God. If true rest is found in knowing God through Jesus, then the weariness that many of us experience comes from looking for that rest somewhere else. You see, sadly, we fall into that trap. There are a myriad of good things that we try to find our rest in. There are lots of good things that we invest our time and energy into. For some of us, it might be friendships. Friendships are good things to put time and energy into. We can be loved and cared for by people. We can love and care for others. We can sharpen each other like iron sharpens iron. We can care for people in ways that God has shaped us to be connected. But if we think that friendships is going to meet our deepest need, then we'll pour ourselves into them and we will weary ourselves because it won't fulfill. Friends let you down. When things go wrong, you'll be left empty and weary. Only true rest is found in knowing God through Jesus. For others of us, it might be pursued in a spouse. Perhaps if we're not married, we might think if we can just find the right husband or wife, then that will meet this need. Or even if you are married, you might think if I can just invest enough in my marriage, if I can spend enough time with my spouse, if I can learn good communication techniques, then I'll have that rest that I need. And it's good to do those things. It's good to invest in your marriage. But that will not fulfill that need. And if you think it will, you will weary yourself by pursuing something that will not fulfill. Only true rest is only found in knowing God through Jesus. We're even at risk of seeing ministry as a means to rest. There are so many good things we can do. Leadership at church, evangelism, connecting with people from other cultures who need to hear about Jesus, leading youth group or Bible study. And it's good to labour in ministry. In Colossians 1, Paul says this, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." It's good to labour in ministry. It's good to use our energy, but if we look for satisfaction in that, if we think that if people just grow, then I'll be satisfied. If people come to faith, then I'll be satisfied. If church goes well, then I'll be satisfied. Then we will be wearied. We will be disappointed. Because the only way to find true rest is by knowing God through Jesus. So we need to examine our hearts. What are we looking to find rest in? Examine your prayers. That'll tell you where you're hoping for rest. What are you praying for? Are you praying for friendships? Are you praying for your kids to be better people? Are you praying for a spouse? Are you praying for results in your ministry? Are you praying for those things because you think that in getting them you will find rest? Or are you going to find your rest in knowing God through Jesus? Examine your diary. What are you spending your time on? Are you spending your time on ministry because you think that if you invest in it, then it's going to be more effective? Are you spending your time on your assessments at college because you think if your grades are better, then you'll feel satisfied? Are you spending your time on friendships because you think that if you have good friendships, your needs will be met? What's your motivation? If you try to find your rest in anything other than knowing God through Christ, you will be wearied and burdened. You'll be worn out. We need to find our rest in Jesus so that we can help others find their rest in him too. On Sunday at my church, there were two young ladies baptized. These are girls who've grown up in Christian families. Both of them have been to church since they were young, great members of the youth group, good at learning memory verses. They were the sort of kids you'd like your kids to play with. But as they've grown up, they've realized that it's not just about doing the right things. It's about connecting with God. Let me share with you a little bit of one of their testimonies. She says, "I tried to find contentment and satisfaction in the achievements at school and in sport and within relationships. As a perfectionist, I constantly put myself under the pressure to work hard and to make things as best as it possibly could be. Assignments, homework, attitudes and friendships then became sources of stress as I found it so difficult to achieve what I wanted. I constantly felt helpless and alone, regarding myself as the only person who could do it and rejecting help from God and those around me. And during those moments when it did work out, new worries constantly overcame me and I found no true satisfaction in anything I had control over." She went on to share about how that led to her getting glandular fever and being sick for ages. And then not long after that, her grandmother died, which brought massive grief on her whole family. And she goes on, though, to say, looking back, however, I'm so thankful for what God has done through that painful time. He really taught me how small and powerless I really am and how much I needed him. Towards my grandfather's death the following year, I was able to ask and find security and comfort, which is only possible through God. See, that's where we find rest. And we want people all around the world who are weary and burdened to find the rest that Jesus offers. We want to proclaim that Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But to do that, we need to find our rest in him too. Let me pray that we do. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have met our deepest need. We thank you that as we come to you, you bring us back to our Father. You connect us to the God who made us. You fulfill our deepest need. Lord, help us to have visions filled with you, seeking you above all else. And as we labor and strive for you with your energy, help us never to be distracted from the satisfaction that comes only from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Amen.